Good morning, planet Earth. Good morning, planet Earth. It is the Planetary Status Report with your friend Dan. It is Monday, April the 19th, 2021. Right around 4 a.m. Mountain Standard Time. Can you believe it, brothers and sisters? And this is indeed the Planetary Status Report with your friend Dan. And it is Monday, and it is the Monday of your life. It is the never-ending Monday. It's as if Monday started some day in February 2020. And it never ended, did it? I'm kidding. But if you're listening on shortwave radio to 5950 kilohertz, WRMI out of Miami, from the great Okeechobee, these signals are sent forth. Then this could be Saturday or Sunday night at 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Or for those of you at sea, traveling the oceans in search for pirate's gold, it's 3 a.m. UTC. That's right. And if you need to find the notes for this show because you are currently listening to it on shortwave, the notes for this show can be found at dfgtc.org/shownotes. But if you're just listening to this off the interweb, off the internet, off of the internet of things, are you a thang? Are you an internet of thing? Yeah, if you're just listening to this off the interweb, then it's very likely that you have found the notes either on igloo.luau.com or you've found the notes on the SoundCloud posting, or as long as I'm not deleted and my flags are not there on my YouTube account, you might have found them on YouTube. But I'm about to be deleted, I think. From YouTube. I don't think my time there is long. Currently, they have a huge defender of, you know, free speech, so chances are I'll be deleted soon. Yep. And if you want to email me to complain, because I know if anyone's listening out there, you must have a reason to complain, or you want to suggest a topic, or you just want to put a question to me that I can read on the air, you know, a question about your personal life, about your grooming habits, how do you take care of your scrotal zone, everything related to proper hygiene is okay according to the FCC, but some words are bad. Some words are okay. So if you want to send me an email asking me a question about your male or female hygiene, I would be excited. Thank you. You can email me at me@imsully.com. And if you want to fund this podcast broadcast, you can, you know, donate to my PayPal account, paypal.com/paypalme/Dr. Freckles. As spelled, Dr. Freckles. First topic, Oath Keepers, another ironically named thing. Oath Keepers, you know, back in the year 2009, Boblimpdoc, I believe, roughly 2009, the first year of the Obama presidency, back when I was still a libertarian who believed in the small crocodile theory of government. You know, you can just starve the crocodile. That's what a libertarian will tell you. But the problem is, that never works. Supposedly, the Constitution was designed to keep the crocodile from getting too powerful. And we see how that worked out. And it didn't just suddenly happen. A lot of people would love to just draw a line in the sand and say, magically, in the last year or the last decade or in their lifetime, the United States went from being some type of two-bit tyrannical state, from being a republic to becoming a two-bit tyrannical state, that there was a magical point in time. But probably the truth is, the Constitution was designed to create a two-bit tyrannical state eventually. Eventually, on a budget, because ultimately things like police states are expensive. They're not cheap in terms of resources. You can print money. Don't get me wrong. You can print all the money you want to, brothers and sisters. But when the rubber meets the road, food, water, shelter, tyrannies are expensive. Tyrannies are grotesquely expensive. It's why so many people get killed. It really is. If you want to have a tyranny, you have to be doing it all the time. What did Napoleon once say? The only thing you can't do with bayonets is what? The only thing you can't do with bayonets is what? You can't sit on them. The only thing you can't do with bayonets is sit on them. And it sounds silly, but it means something. Okay, if you're going to be practicing the ancient art form of the police state of treating your, you know, fellow human beings like trash, then you're going to have to be the trash collector all of the time. And that's expensive. And if your comeback to me, Dan, is, well, look at all the technology, Dan. The technology makes it cheaper. Are you talking about the bus signs in Seattle? That's government technology. On a good day, it tells you the bus schedule 2 years ago, if it's working. Are you talking about that? Is that the technology you're describing? That unstoppable, super cheap tech that keeps a grotesquely inefficient government working? Is that it? So yeah, back in the great old year of 2009, when I still believed in the tiny crocodile, the tiny crocodile theory, the theory that you could somehow cut the government down to size, I decided to join Oath Keepers. And Oath Keepers was one of these, you know, ostensibly, I thought, organizations of people who called themselves patriots. And as of right now, since it is 2021, you kind of have to call Oath Keepers bullshit, you know, and that's the proper term that the FCC would recognize. You kind of have to call it crap, and you kind of have to say that it's ironically named, because you had a whole decade. Listen, Oath Keepers, they fought a revolution and had a free republic in the time you've had to be Oath Keepers. And things move faster these days, brothers and sisters. So yeah, at this point in time, I think it's fair to call Oath Keepers ironically named. But back in 2009, when I thought it was legit, I decided to sign up. I think I got a couple emails from some dude in Idaho or Montana. And man, doesn't it seem like the NSA has some dude in Idaho or Montana these days to send you an email or to pretend that they follow you on YouTube? Sometimes they even donate money, brothers and sisters. Not very much, relatively speaking, given that the Federal Reserve bankrolls these deep state, mofos. But yeah, sometimes they even donate money. That is how interesting and messed up and strange the PSYOPs are. No offense to people out there who actually believe they have freedom of speech. So I did. I signed up with Oath Keepers because in my head, I remembered back in 1996 when I took the oath as a new officer in the United States Army. In my head, I still believed there were people who would keep their oaths, that they would do it. Not everybody, not perfectly. But if only half of the officers in the United States military understood their oath to protect and defend the Constitution of the United States, my theory back then was that was plenty. Half is plenty. If 50% still understood their oath, then that was enough. That was my naive and stupid belief. And keep in mind, too, in 2009, I was still an atheist, brothers and sisters. So as an atheist in my head, I did not really fully understand the story that was unfolding. The story that unfolds involves fallen people, a fallen people, not people that are living upright, not people that are respecting God, not people that are, as my friend Jim would say, looking out for their children, looking out for the children. No. If you read the book of Revelation, if you read prophecy, the people that face doom are fallen. But in 2009, I still thought that at least 50%, 20%, some reasonable percent of United States military officers understood their oath. As of right now, that's crap. Okay, if there was an opportunity to do your duty, it was months ago, probably years ago, and even today. If there were any 05, 06, 07 level officers who took their oath seriously, even today, you could probably still do something that would be good. You could probably at least make a dent in this global PSYOP. You could. But you don't exist. You don't. You're just like everyone else. You hide behind a smart device. You live in your world of irony. That is what Oath Keepers is. Oath Keepers is ironically named. It is not a real thing. It has no actual weight. It is probably designed, engineered, like so many honeypots are, by the CIA, NSA, deep state complex. It's not a real thing. Neither is Proud Boys. Neither is BLM. Neither is ISIS. Are we learning yet? And if you look into Al-Qaeda, you're going to find a lot of CIA there too. No offense to people that want to believe the story, the other great irony, the war on terror. It's an ironically named thing too, brothers and sisters. The war on terror. That's irony, okay? War is terror. To wage a war on terror is literally to spread terror. And it's what we've done. In 20 years, we've spread a lot of pain, a lot of suffering, a lot of dustified, depleted uranium is what we've done. The Oath Keepers is not real. What happened on January the 6th was not a real thing. If you participated in that January the 6th event, I told you not to. If you listen to my podcast, I told you not to. I said, this is not a thing you should participate in. I said, understand that if you go to this thing, you will be putting yourself at risk. You'll be putting your family at risk. And I don't know if anybody listened to that podcast because, hey, folks, I'm about as shadow banned as a lot of people are in this world right now. But maybe one or two did. Okay, 1-6 was not a real thing. And before we go to the next topic, I need to revisit the general subject of the cartoon soldier because the cartoon soldier is a problem on social media, Facebook, Gab, Twitter, Instagram. These are the dudes who post pictures of their shot groups. They post pictures of where they go shooting. They don't understand that in 1995, no, actually they do. They do understand that in 1995, the NSA and CIA had the tech to take a picture that showed topography and match it to a location. And it's not 1995. It isn't, for those of you wondering what year it is. There are on Twitter and Facebook and all the social media, these cartoon soldiers. They post pictures of shot groups. They post where they go shooting. Sometimes they post what I would call AR-15 snuff porn, where they'll take a carbine and they'll fire 5,000 rounds through it and show it exploding. Well, gee, smart, intelligent human, have you studied military history? Because I have. That is the most, other than what you'll see in the movies, that is one of the most unrealistic scenarios in the history of warfare, okay? If you actually study how many bullets get fired downrange on average per carbine in the history of warfare, you find out a couple of things. In general, people don't want to kill each other, and in general, they don't fire 5,000 rounds continuously. So why do that? Why post a video on Twitter of you burning out an AR-15? The only purpose of that video is to scare people. So yeah, folks, there's a lot of psyop involving the Oath Keepers and the Boogaloo and the Proud Boys. And if you get suckered by it, if you went to 1-6 and got suckered by it the way I got suckered by Oath Keepers in the year 2009, if you get suckered by it, okay. We've all been kind of suckered at times by this chaos engine called the U.S. government, because that's the only thing I can see that it produces, is chaos. And what's really funny is they'll often use the word anarchy to express chaos. In reality, what they should call it is what it is, chaos, and it's what they produce. It is the only thing our government is capable of producing. Chaos, noise, entropy. That's what it does. If you don't have enough problems, then you have a government. Because clearly, you must not have enough problems if you need one. Next topic. So, I watched The Walking Dead, and I watched Fear the Walking Dead. Currently, as TV shows, I watch them off the internet. Don't want to talk about that too much. But I'm not going to buy a new season. I don't even know if there's going to be one for either The Walking Dead or Fear the Walking Dead. They're kind of set up as a big question mark. I watched the last episodes of The Walking Dead. That was complete dreck. And then I watched the Fear the Walking Dead. And why did I? Because I already paid for the season. So I figured, since I already paid for it, since I already put money down, I might as well watch these episodes. Maybe there'll be some view into what's going on in Hollywood and television culture land. And they kind of are brothers and sisters. The one thing I'll say is that these last few episodes of The Walking Dead and Fear the Walking Dead are terrible. Terribly written, terribly connected. They look like they're hastily thrown together to close out something. Or, you know, maybe. Again, it's a big question mark, because the way that the last episode that I saw of The Walking Dead ended, it's hard to say if there's going to be another season or not, really. Because they left a lot of threads out there in a way, but it was still terribly written. It was a lot of Hallmark Channel crap. Same thing with Fear the Walking Dead. Hallmark Channel poignant crap, okay? In this one episode I watched, episode 9, it looked to be some type of weird, introspective, pseudo-philosophical screed on the topic of reproductive freedom. I mean, it was weird. It seemed like there was an agenda in the writing. I just didn't know what it was, and it clearly had nothing to do with zombies or the storyline before that point. And as far as this topic goes, I guess I'm ranting, but you know what? I'm going to keep going. Because there was a show I liked. It was called Mr. Robot. And the first 3 seasons, I was kind of impressed. It was like, hey, this is a good show. This is interesting. In a lot of ways, there was a lot of predictive programming in Mr. Robot, but it was a great show. And then the last season, the final season of Mr. Robot, it's almost as if they killed the writing team and they replaced them with some sort of political agenda team, and it fits into the same category as everything I'm seeing coming out of Hollywood right now. There's two things we can say about what's coming out of Hollywood. Number one, what's coming out of Hollywood culture, LA TV culture, is crap. Like, it used to be that there was some artistic value left, but now it's all just crap. That's number one. Number two, it's clearly all political now. Ideology, satanic, political dreck. It's clearly an agenda-driven thing. Everything about it now. Everything they produce has an agenda in it, and it's related to some type of weird New World Order, generalized political correctness. None of it makes any sense, but it's all terrible. That's the takeaway, okay? I think Andy Warhol once would have said, and he might have said, that if there is an art form of the United States of America, it's pop art, it's popular art, it's what we call popular culture. That used to be the art form we produced. That used to be the art form that excited the world. America produced pop art. But I look at what's happened to pop art in this country, and it's looking more and more like Soviet realism every single day. And when I say Soviet realism, keep in mind that that is also ironically named, because there's nothing realistic about Soviet realism. But it is drab and dreary and crappy and overbearing, and it's definitely filled with a lot of ideological sucker punches that nobody needs or wants. Hollywood currently sucks on a lot of levels, but I would say the number one level on which Hollywood sucks right now is because they choose ideology over art. Anytime you choose your ideology over your art suffers. I'm going to repeat that statement because I think a lot of people in the liberty movement don't really get it. And it's not, so I'm going to beat up a little bit on the liberty movement because the Marxists definitely don't get it. They're totally confused. But more people on the liberty movement side don't get it too than I quite understand. So I'm going to repeat this. If you choose your ideology over your art suffers. Now, that doesn't mean you can't integrate your beliefs into your art. That's different, brothers and sisters. That's different. Integration is cool. That's how you produce art that I think changes the world. But if you just say, I'm going to take my beliefs and dump them on people in some really ridiculous, overdone way, people get turned off. I'm going to say something that's probably going to bother a lot of folks. I love the works of Ayn Rand. When I was 22 years old, I pretty much read everything she wrote in the space of a few months. That's how much I was impressed by Ayn Rand. But here's what I'll say about Atlas Shrugged. And I think Ayn Rand, if she was alive, might even agree. And she might even have said this at some point. Atlas Shrugged should have been edited many times. And that gigantic speech that John Galt gives, that speech is just too long. It's not a question of whether or not he makes good points. It's a good example of choosing ideology over art. Atlas Shrugged might have been one of the greatest novels ever written. As it is, it's a great novel for people that are interested in topics involving freedom. But it's not really a great novel that's going to go out there into the whole world, and that is the point. If you want to change the world as somebody who believes in freedom and you're an artist, do yourself a favor and never, ever, ever turn your back on the art. Ever. Because if you do, you will fail in your message. There you go. Next topic. And this is a quote from Dr. Freckles. If some calamity were to befall us, free people have a chance. Slaves are doomed. This is a quote from Dr. Freckles. I'm going to read the quote again. And if you're listening on shortwave, you're probably listening to 5950 kilohertz. And if you're listening to 5950 kilohertz, you might very well be listening to WRMI out of Miami, Miami Okeechobee. And this could be Saturday or Sunday night or Sunday or Monday morning, depending upon whether or not you're thinking in terms of Eastern Standard Time or the time that involves Greenwich Mean Time, the time of the king and the queen and the dukes. Just want to let you know. But if you are listening on shortwave, all the notes for this podcast broadcast are available by looking up the proper date at dfgtc.org/shownotes. That's dfgtc.org/shownotes. Delta Foxtrot Golf Tango Charlie. .org/shownotes, and you can get the show notes. Here's a quote from Dr. Freckles. As stated before, but I'll repeat once again. If some calamity were to befall us, free people have a chance, slaves are doomed. Now, what does that mean? There are people in my life, and I used to believe this myself because that's why I joined the military. I used to believe the following, and what I'm about to say, but I'll drink a little coffee first, a little instant coffee, freeze-dried from Colombia, right? 100% Honduran. I mean, I can taste the Honduran, including the tattoo. And the nail polish. I was told, and I used to believe, and this is one of the reasons why I joined the military, I used to believe that there were certain problems that were so bad, so hard, so difficult, that you needed a government. You had to have a government. If you didn't have a government, the problems wouldn't get solved. I am ashamed to admit that on a certain level, I used to be one of those maraud people. Like, I don't know if I ever thought we had to have public roads, but I did believe there were things like that. I did. I used to believe, well, you got to have a free republic with a government that has an army to protect your freedoms because people from other countries are going to want to come along and take them away. I used to believe that nonsense. I used to believe you had to have cops because there are crimes with victims. This is true. There are crimes with victims. It's just the question is having a police force the best answer to that problem? And what I've come to realize is the answer is no. But I used to believe that. I used to believe there were problems that were so hard that if we had freedom, we couldn't possibly survive in those cases. Those are the cases where we had to take freedom away, where we had to have a cop, where we had to have an army. I'm ashamed to admit it, but 20, 30 years ago, growing up in this country, I was led to believe what a lot of kids are led to believe, that there are times when you just have to use force. And there are times when you might even have to lie to people, the noble lie. And what I'm saying is I think that was all crap. If we face some kind of doom, and I'm not saying we do, okay? I know that if you listen to my podcast, I have said the following in almost every one, and I'm going to say it again. I believe with 100% certainty that we are living within the most coordinated, advanced, complex military psychological warfare operation in human history. There has never been a multi-layered PSYOP, because it is multi-layered. It's not just the COVID. It's not just the race war. It is very coordinated. You know, the mass stuff with the COVID helps with the race war, because it means that you can reuse actors between the Boog and the BLM and the Antifa and the Proud Boys. Actors just have to change uniforms. They got a mask on. No one's going to know who they are, or at least no one's going to know for certain who they are. And that's it, plausible deniability. So the only thing I know for certain is that we're living in a giant psyop. And maybe that's been true my whole life. It's just that it has gone into overdrive, brothers and sisters. It really has. Okay, we can make the claim that it's been like this forever, at least as long as I've been alive, and I believe that's kind of true. But in the last year, it has gone exponential. It has gone crazy. The number of psychological operations that are being tossed at us daily is getting ridiculous. And the character of them is getting ridiculous. So one of the questions a curious person might ask is, why? Why? Why expose billions of people to what is essentially trauma-based mind control when you know full well that when the Nazis did this as an experiment during World War II, there is basically only one outcome. If the person can't get away from it, there's basically one outcome, eventual death. Eventually, people die from adrenal fatigue. Eventually, people die from the, frankly, the damage done to their lives, to their bodies, to their psyches, because of this type of mind control. So the question is, why? If you know that after a year of it, a certain percentage of the population is just going to get sick and die, they're going to commit suicide, they're going to overdose, they're going to just literally get sick inside, they're going to get cancer, heart disease, diabetes, you name it, they're just going to die. If you know this, then why? Because I don't see the exit strategy, but here's what I will say. If the reason why they're doing this is to cover up something that's so terrible, so bad, so completely off the chart epic in its destructive power that we can't be trusted to know about it, if that's the reason why, then I call BS on that. I will tell you this, and I hope you're listening. Before I move on to the next topic, I hope everyone listens. I hope this is something I listen to. I hope this is something I remember. The only chance we have to survive, the only chance we have to confront the unknown, the only chance we ever had was with freedom. That's it. If we are free, we have a chance. Whatever it is, and I don't know what it could be. And if the answer is it's just collapse, the only chance we have with that too is freedom, is liberty, is dignity. It's respect for our neighbors, and it is voluntary cooperation and problem solving. That is our only chance. If we do more of the same, we are doomed. If we do more of the slave culture stuff, we're done. We're over. Or maybe I should put it another way. And I've said this before, but I'll say it again. Perhaps government itself is an extinction-level event. That every time a government comes into existence, it might only take 1,000 years, maybe it takes 10,000 years. But after some percentage of time, after a government comes into existence, that civilization, that culture, those living things on some planet someplace, they decided that they couldn't solve problems cooperatively, that they couldn't solve problems in a free world, that the only way they could solve problems was with force. That was the only solution. They made a decision that the only way they could solve problems was basically by pointing guns at each other. What if that is what dooms intelligent creatures? What if that, if you're an atheist, what if that explains the Fermi paradox? The reason why it's so quiet, the reason why the only aliens we know of are in the fantastical heads of people that might be suffering some type of psychosis. What if that explains it? Every time some intelligent creature thinks the best way to solve a problem is by hiring bullies, that's it. It might take 10,000 years, but 10,000 years later, they're gone. And in some cases, maybe even the whole planet. Just gone. because they believed the only solution to their problems, especially in extremis, especially when things get crazy, Dan, the only solution was force. The only solution was the bully. And now they're gone. Something to think about, right? They're just gone, brothers and sisters. They're just gone. Next topic. Another quote from Dr. Freckles, don't expect the news to tell you what's going on. And I guess there's a theme in this today's podcast broadcast, this morning's little screed, although if you're listening on shortwave, it might be the evening time. Again, who knows when these recordings are sent over shortwave to the alien fleet 17 parsecs from Starbase 8699.Z. Somewhere in deep space, there are aliens receiving this signal, and it's getting them very angry. Hello, aliens, you aliens. Did you have a government? If you did, there's nobody there. There's nobody home. Don't expect the news to tell you what's going on. When I was an undergraduate and ultimately in graduate school, I studied a fair amount of Russian history, Soviet history, communist history. I studied it because at the time it was an interesting subject, you know, it was alien, it was foreign, whatever. I had my own reasons for going down the rat holes of my youth. If you're a young person, you probably have your own reasons for going down your own rat holes. That's the great thing about being young, is you can go into the cave system and explore. However, there's that show Dark, right? Don't go into the time cave. Don't go in the time cave. But as a kid, and when I was in college studying like the Soviet Union and studying the Eastern Bloc and whatnot, before the wall fell, I would always kind of think to myself, well, at least we've got freedom of the press, right? At least we've got journalists. I was very naive, guys. I was. I think I grew up in an America that was really artificial even at that time. I just didn't know it yet. But I was naive. I thought there was freedom of the press. I thought there were journalists out there trying to get to the truth. What I've come to understand is that was probably never really true. Even the whole Woodward and Bernstein thing, if you scratch the surface a little, you're going to find some interesting stuff. It's not as simple as what they tell you. What I would say as of right now, and it is a matter of law, so you can research this yourself, but it is legal. It is policy for the U.S. government to sponsor news stories. It is policy for the U.S. government to pay journalists. It is now formal policy to use propaganda against the American people. And they even talk about it like it's a necessary evil or maybe even a good. I mean, it really has become, Washington, D.C. especially, has become a kind of Edward Bernays wonderland. It really has. And if you don't know who Edward Bernays was, he was one of the architects of what we would call advertising, public relations, propaganda. He was one of the architects 100 years ago, Edward Bernays. And Washington, D.C. has become an Edward Bernays wonderland. So don't expect the news to tell you what's going on, okay? If you turn on the news, if you go on Twitter and you see a video, and that video shows a bunch of cops beating up on somebody, do yourself a favor. Don't instantly assume what you're seeing is real. I'm not saying I like cops, and I'm not saying cops don't beat up on people, but a lot of what I saw in Seattle last summer looked staged. It did. It looked staged. It looked prepped, meaning people prepped the scene before people showed up. A good example of prepping was to actually put up fencing and plywood at locations that they didn't want destroyed. So there was a lot of prepping, but ultimately it was staged. It was rubber cone BS. Another thing I tell people, and I'll repeat, so if you're a listener and you've heard it, you're going to hear it again. And if you're a new listener, podcast or broadcast, here it goes. Until you see anchored triple-strand concertina wire, it's not real. It's not. Sorry. It's rubber cone Les Mis. It's orchestrated. It's local cops, basically in plain clothes. It's CIA, FBI operators. It's mercenaries. It's hired actors. It's George Soros, AstroTurf BS. Until you see anchored triple-strand concertina, aka razor wire, it's not real. But don't expect them to tell you what's going on, my friends. They're not gonna. If there were actually some type of, you know, civil war going on right now, if there were actual operators, people with military experience who know that you're not supposed to post stuff on Twitter, heck, if you have a Twitter account, it better be a fake one. It better have some weird crypto involved, and it better make you seem like some kind of transsexual. No offense to trans community. But ultimately, real operators are not on social media. But if there were real operators in the field right now, actual people who took their oaths seriously, you're not going to read about it in the news. If they blew a bridge or blew up a building, it'll be a fire. It'll be an accident. You are not going to get the truth from the news. If you want to approach a newspaper today, and this includes even sites like Zero Hedge, if you want to approach it, you have to approach it like you're a Sovietologist back in the 70s working for the CIA. You have to read between the lines. You have to know how to read between the lines, which means you have to identify contradictions. You have to identify lies. If they tell you that the National Weather Service has to shut down its scientific web services because of, and I quote, bandwidth issues, and you know how much bandwidth is chewed up by pornography and online 3D gaming, here's one thing you know. You know the National Weather Service is lying. You don't know what the truth is, but you know they're lying. That's what I mean. You have to find the lies. And once you find the lies, sometimes you can get to the truth. But that's where we're at. They're not going to tell you what's going on. Next topic. Next topic. Oh, here's another quote from Dr. Freckles. The commie is fighting for freedom right up to the moment he cuts your throat. I'll leave that one aside. Next quote from Dr. Freckles. Next quote from Dr. Freckles. Dr. Fauci is the L. Ron Hubbard we deserve. What does that mean? If you don't know who L. Ron Hubbard was, he's the inventor of Scientology. When I look at the COVID mythology, whether it's the wearing two or three masks, whether it's the asymptomatic spreading, when I look at the COVID mythology, none of it makes any sense if you see it from a scientific or rational perspective. But if you see it from the perspective of an emergent cult or religion, the COVID stuff makes a lot of sense. Living in Seattle this last year before I got to Utah, living a half a mile from every major hospital in Seattle, the only thing I could tell you is that there was no pandemic. I lived in Chinatown. The flights from Asia never stopped. There were tons of undocumented people that lived in my building. We had shared kitchens. I can keep going. The only thing I knew from living right there is that the commies were immune, the construction workers are immune, and there was probably just no pandemic, okay? Unless you believe that commies and construction workers have magical DNA, and they probably don't. They probably don't. In fact, it's probably more likely that they're doing crystal meth, which is crashing their immune systems. So, no. It's not the case that the construction workers and the commies had special immunity. It's the case that the pandemic was BS. But if you look at it from a religious perspective, it's a lot like a cult. It is. The way people respond to it, if you ask them questions about it, all of a sudden they get all crazy. And folks like Dr. Fauci or Bill Gates have been turned into these weird types of secular saints. I don't know why. Bill Gates is a poisoner. So is Dr. Fauci. These people, if we lived in a rational, moral world where there was a rule of law, Dr. Fauci and Bill Gates would be at The Hague, in jail, awaiting trials for crimes against humanity, if in fact we lived in a rule of law world. We don't. Dr. Fauci is the L. Ron Hubbard you deserve. Dr. Fauci is the L. Ron Hubbard we deserve. Sometimes I like to go on dates. I mean, I want to fall in love. Everybody wants to fall in love sometime before they die. Everyone wants to touch somebody, don't they? Yes, indeed, Dr. Fauci is the L. Ron Hubbard we deserve. But yeah, I'd like to fall in love again. I've been thinking about dating. I don't think it's going to happen. I kind of joke about it. But let's say, for the sake of argument, that I ended up in Vegas in a couple weeks. There's a chance, let's call it a 1 in 4 chance, that within the next 3 weeks, I'll be living in Vegas. I'll be living in Vegas, living a cocaine lifestyle, cruising the strip, looking for love. I'll be looking for love in the form of a woman who's got that face, the face that stares into the blackness of some large penis she once took down her throat, right, FCC? I'm kidding, FCC, right? No, but I have to work on pickup lines, like, I've been thinking about pickup lines at bars that I'll go to. These weird pickup lines, these weird strategies. For example, what if I walked up to a woman at a bar in Vegas and I said, Hey, baby, you want to touch my hot rod? I mean my rod. I'll say, do you want to touch my rod? And then I'll just say, I mean my hot rod. It's outside. And she slaps me in the face, and she punches me in the arm, and she walks away. And then I go up to this brunette at another bar, and she's got beautiful long hair, and she's wearing this red dress. She looks about 35. She might have had a trick pregnancy or two. I say to this raven-haired beauty, I hunt the beaver clam. I hunt the beaver clam. I am the adventurer of the deep valley. I have been to the swamplands far down south. And this woman, this beautiful woman, looks at me and she pulls out a knife and stabs me in the stomach. I lay there bleeding, and I learned a lesson. I encounter a redhead at another place. I say to this woman, this beautiful redhead, I say to you, have you heard of simulation theory? She mocks me. She laughs at me. She tosses the poop in a little bag of poop that she got from her little shih tzu she took for a walk on the strip. I go up to another woman. She's a blonde. I tell her, listen, would you like to look at pictures of my ex-wife? Want to see? She looks at me and she laughs. She laughs in such a way, such a cackle, that the witches of the east and the west, the north and the south could hear her. Every banshee could hear her laugh. And then she walks away after tossing her drink in my face. That's a lot of free drinks in Vegas, right? I have pictures of my ex-wife. You want to see? Do you want to see? You want to see pictures of my ex-wife? And then I wander the streets of Vegas. I try all my techniques. I have a knife wound that's healing. I have lots of drinks poured all over me. And I make my way to the edge of Vegas. I make my way to this little bar, tavern, this dive. It didn't even have a name, it just had a light, a neon light that said bar. And if you ever do find yourself at a bar where the only name of the bar is bar, make sure you're packing, buddy. I went into this bar called the Bar, and I went into the bar. I went into that bar, and there's a woman there. She's wearing leather. She's wearing biker outfit. She's got a bandana on her head. She's covered with dust and dirt. And the smell of the road, she's been on the road, and she's been road for many years. I couldn't tell the color of her hair. Could have been auburn. Could have been red. I wasn't sure. I wasn't sure of her age either. She could have been like 32, maybe 42. Maybe she was a milfy 52. I walked up to her. I said, hey, baby, you look really tough. You look really rough. Do you like French bulldogs? Do you like French bulldogs? And she went ahead and took her whiskey, and she took the bottle of whiskey. She bashed my head in. My skull cracked open, and I spilled my brains on the ground. All of her biker friends came around kicking me, mocking me for loving French bulldogs. So yeah, I want a date. I want a date. I'm going to try to date. If I make it someplace like Vegas, I'll find myself a Vegas-style love affair. But if I do find a Vegas-style love affair, I'll probably be covered in scars. Next topic. So there's a dude on Twitter that I follow who might be real, who goes by the moniker Snake Plissken. And if you don't know who Snake Plissken is, Snake Plissken is a character from the John Carpenter film Escape from New York and Escape from LA. And we were joking, and the topic was related to gender transition. And I said, you know what? If you ever did transition, you'd have to change your name from Snake Plissken to Sarah Jizcan. Sarah Jizcan. And the thing is, because I say it like Jizcan, I believe that that gets past the FCC. It's a last name. I think it's Armenian. Sarah Jizcan. The Jizcan people of the Jizcan region of Armenia. They were named after their people thousands of years ago. They used to be called the Jiz Anphora. They used to be. Anyways, I was joking because we were talking about love and stuff, and then the subject changed, and then this other dude was talking about how he almost married this Amazonian once or had a child or something. And then he used the term skunk ape. And I thought skunk ape, that sounded racist. Like, doesn't that kind of sound racist, skunk ape? A little bit. So I thought it sounded kind of racist, so I decided to research skunk ape. And yeah. How does Sarah Jizcan get me to skunk ape? Well, in the notes, if you're listening on shortwave, you can get the notes for this broadcast podcast by going to dfgtc.org/shownotes. That's Delta Foxtrot Golf Tango Charlie .org/shownotes. And you can get the link to the article I'm about to read a little of. I'm not going to read the whole article because it's actually too long. But the article comes from Smithsonian Magazine. And it was published in 2014, and the title is On the Trail of Florida's Bigfoot, the Skunk Ape, and the author is Joseph Stromberg. So it's Smithsonian Mag, Snopes. It's a Smithsonian Mag. Yeah. And I read on. The first time Dave Shealy saw a skunk ape, he says, he was 10 years old. It was 1974, a few years after his father had come upon a set of footprints left by the creature, an Everglades version of Bigfoot named for its supposedly pungent odor. Dave was out deer hunting with his older brother Jack in the swamp behind his house in what's now Big Cypress National Preserve when he encountered the ape incarnate. I was walking across the swamp, and my brother spotted it first. But I couldn't see it over the grass. I wasn't tall enough, Shealy says. My brother picked me up, and I saw it about 100 yards away. We were just kids, but we'd heard about it and knew for sure what we were looking at. It looked like a man, but completely covered with hair. Yeah. And I'm not going to read the rest of this. I'll let you guys read the rest of it yourself. But here's the deal. How is this connected to dating and love and Snake Plissken gender transitioning to Sarah Jizcan and whether or not you should call people skunk apes and whether or not having sex with a skunk ape to produce a superhuman makes sense? And the answer to all these questions is yes. Imagine if you met some skunk ape. Imagine you met some skunk ape, you know, named Sarah Jizcan, 7 feet tall. She runs a 4-minute mile. She does triathlons and she says she wants a baby. Why wouldn't you make Super Baby? And that's the topic I'm going to leave you with, or the subject or the thought. Why wouldn't you make a super baby with Sarah Jizcan? And here's why. Because Sarah Jizcan Snake Plissken, and you ain't going to produce a baby that way. But if you're listening right now on shortwave, this is WRMI. This is the Planetary Status Report. This is 5950 kilohertz, messages being sent into deep space to aliens beyond the rim, out where the patrols are. Out where the starship Invigorous continues to hunt for pirates. Go forth on Monday and hunt for pirates.